Well, the center purpose of man revolves around three key areas. We've been talking about this for a couple Sundays. It revolves around our relationship with God, our relationship with other people, and our relationship with stuff. Now, we've talked a lot about our relationship with God, and we've talked a lot about our relationship with stuff, but we haven't really talked much about our relationship with other people. And it's interesting, as I was contemplating that and thinking that, our relationship with other people is usually centered around one thing. There's one thing that connects us more than anything else with everybody else, and it happens to be our words. The things that we share, the things that we listen to from other people. And it's sort of interesting because the Apostle James in the New Testament wrote extensively about our words, and it was sort of interesting the powerful picture that he shared. I want you to listen to this. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the body parts. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Wow, those are some pretty powerful words to share about words. It's a vivid picture. And every one of us have been encouraged by words, and we have been stung by words. And I would imagine in the room this morning, there's enough of us here that can still remember the words that were said to us when we were in junior high. You know, we say that, oh, words will never hurt me. How's that go? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But how many can attest that that's just not true? Words hurt. And I was thinking this week, those mean words that have been shared to us hang on us like moss hangs on an old oak tree. It just won't go away. And they're there. They're in the back of our mind. Maybe the evil words that a parent said to you in anger. Maybe the words that your dad did or didn't share to you. Maybe the words that a bully said to you in junior high. Maybe it was a bad breakup in high school and the words that were shared. They just hang on us. And they never seem to go away. Words are powerful. So the Bible's filled with a lot of admonitions about how we should use our words because it is the biggest connection point with other people. We are in a relationship with God, relationship with stuff, but we're in a relationship with other people. And the primary way that that relationship happens is through our words. So we need to use our words to share the positive and not wallow in the negative. And this idea fits perfectly with where our church has come over this last year. A year ago, we were struggling with gossip and negativity, with a critical spirit and a blaming spirit within our church. But God broke us of that spirit. And you might remember clearly that God led us to make a commitment that we will be a joyful church. We commit to being a joyful church. We're going to be positive. We're going to be encouraging. We're going to celebrate the good in life and the good that God is doing. And we frankly said, if you can't go there with us, then you need to worship somewhere else because we're going to be joyful in our worship and joyful in our congregation. So the sermon this morning fits perfectly in living the best life possible, but it also fits perfectly where we are as a church. So I began digging into God's word to understand the power of words. So God's word should have some things to say about words. In fact, the Bible has a lot to say about our words, and a whole lot more than I could ever pack or compact into a sermon this morning. Well, as I was digging into God's word to see what God's word says about our words, I ran into a twist, if you will. I came into this with the focus on what we say. But as I looked at God's word, I had to back up and I began to realize what we say is only half the problem. The other half of the problem is what we listen to, because that's what fills our hearts. And it's sort of fascinating because Jesus said this very plainly. Matthew chapter 15, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then is passed out the body? So if you ever wondered if Jesus, this is for the teen boys and the boys, they think, if you ever wonder if Jesus talked about going to the bathroom, yes, he did. Come on, that's funny. He did. What goes into the body goes out the body, okay? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander, and these defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands, it doesn't defile them. So we must guard our ears, but the Bible is very clear that we must guard our mouths as well. Both sides are true, because here's the deal. We have to be careful what goes in our ears, because we will be responsible for what comes out our mouths. Both sides of that's true. And if we guard our ears, we're going to look at that this morning, if we guard our ears, we guard our eyes, we guard our feet, it's going to be easier to guard what comes out our mouths. Much of this series has been reflected in the book of Proverbs from the Old Testament. He was a wise man, the wise teacher. And I want you to listen to some of these words that he shared. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Now, I grew up in church. How many of you grew up in church, by the way? Just curious. Okay, you grew up around the church. When I grew up in church, going to Sunday school, going to vacation Bible schools, long time ago, I was taught this dumb, simple little song in school that perfectly, Sunday school, that totally sums up what I want to share this morning. And I want to give you a warning. When I play this song, it's going to be rattling around in your head for the rest of the week. So if you don't want to hear this song, go, nah, 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 why I play the song, okay? But this is a song I was taught in Sunday school that sums us all up. So, Ben, let's play this song for everybody this morning. Oh. Okay, we know the song. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above. Going down, little... Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Jody knows the song better than I do. Okay, but it goes on. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down below. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down below. Be careful, little feet, where you go. How many of you have heard that song before? How many is that new? We might have to do that, Michelle. Wow. This song perfectly sums up God's word. Proverbs says, be careful what you put in your heart. Guard your heart. Because out of your heart comes words. Out of your heart comes actions. Out of your heart comes your interaction with God, with his stuff, and with other people. So I want to take a look at that this morning, but then we're going to take a fair look at the other side. Not only do we guard what goes in, we have to be careful. We have to guard what also comes out. So let's first take a look at what guarding what goes in. Years ago, I was a youth pastor in Indiana. And the church was Pioneer Faith Community Church. They had 150 beautiful acres. We had our own pond, lake-ish thing, wooded, some fields as well. This church bought an old farm with several outbuildings. In the church's heyday, they built a few more buildings. We had our own youth building on this property. It wasn't a big room, but it was a nice building, own bathroom, sink, and whatnot. And one day, I was in the youth building, and I was contemplating what we were going to do that night. And for some reason, there was a white garbage can that sat off to the side of the kitchen cabinetry with dead cockroaches all around it, just so you know. When you walked in, the cockroaches left, so it wasn't, it's a youth building, they get the trash, okay? And I was looking at the garbage can, and all of a sudden, the whole youth lesson came to me for the night. And I don't have the manuscript, so I don't remember all that I said, but I remember clearly the idea, and the idea was that a garbage can does not have a brain. A garbage can cannot control what goes into it and cannot control what comes out of it. But every garbage can, what goes into it will eventually come out of it. I was thinking about this. I've experienced a few things in my life. You know, garbage cans don't get a lot of control. You know, so some days after church, cake goes in here. Good cake, but nobody wanted it. And so we throw it in there. Some days, you know, leftover Kool-Aid or coffee goes in here. And some days, nasty, dirty diapers go in there. Now, I am so thankful. And Lori, I don't know if you're hearing this back there. I am so thankful for Lori. I have never come into this church on a Monday morning and discovered that a diaper did not make it out in the garbage. I have been in other churches where that did not take place. And let me just explain to you quickly, a diaper in a building where air is not moving for at least one day makes the air quality on Monday morning very, very bad. Never found that in our church. So thank you, Lori, and the nursery staff, and everybody who works back there. So sometimes this trash can will get that in it, or it will get mouse droppings in it. Or the emptying of your garbage, your vacuum might go in there and dust up the whole thing. This garbage can has no control. But here's the deal. What will go in will eventually come out, either in smell or be dumped out. So what goes in comes out. It's the garbage can principle. What goes in comes out. Now, here's the thought I had. I think you folks are smart. Feel good? I think you're smart. I think that every person sitting here is smarter than this garbage can. Now, you can go home and tell your neighbors that. My pastor said I'm smarter than a garbage can. I think you're smarter than a garbage can. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the truth that God has given us the ability of choice. In fact, that leads to the whole sin issue and the problem with sin. You might wonder, why is there so much evil in the world? Because God gave us freedom of choice, and some people use that choice for bad, not good, and that's why we experience evil. It's not because God's bad, but he gave us freedom of choice. And I think every one of you are greater than this garbage can, and you can make choices in your life, and every one of you, unlike this garbage can choose what goes into you. Eventually, it's going to come out, but you can choose what goes into you. Now, I hope that you will choose to be smarter than a garbage can, because some people aren't too careful about what goes into them. And I'm telling you, it's eventually going to come out. So, as the little song says, we need to guard our eyes, we need to guard our ears, and we need to guard our feet. So let's talk about that really quick. Guarding our eyes. Caleb and I think it was after Wednesday night church, Michelle wasn't home yet. Somehow Michelle wasn't home yet. Caleb and I were sitting on the couch watching a little TV. It was about 9 o'clock at night. I don't know if you've seen this commercial, but it was supermodels all around a pool with a naked supermodel in the pool with the water up to here. She walks through the pool, walks out, shows the backside, and Caleb and I are looking at each other. What are they selling? And she turns around, looks at the camera, and says, Dijon or something. I don't even know what it was. It's perfume. And Caleb and I looked at each other and said, that is not what she was selling. They happened to just tag it with perfume. Our culture, guys, is bombarding us with sex. We can't escape it. It's on billboards, it's in TV, it's on the television, it's in magazines, it's in newspapers, it's in the running columns on the side of your Facebook page. It's everywhere. And we need to be careful, little eyes, what we see. About 2-3 weeks ago, I was reading a Christian article from Christianity Today, and the author made a comment about lady porn. Like, lady porn? Never heard of that one. I must be naive. I never heard of that one, so I had to Google lady porn. I was concerned, okay? I know. I had my filters on. I have filters on all my computers. And what it was soap operas and romance novels. Didn't know that's what it was. You see, guys are turned on by the eyes, ladies are turned on by romance. But you know what? Both of them, the eye gate's what allows it into the heart. And so, ladies, if you're hooked on romance novels, be careful, little eyes, what you read. Be careful, little eyes. We got to guard our eyes. So that little song is wonderful. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. We must learn to guard our eyes. We must learn to guard what we're watching and what we're seeing. We're assaulted from all sorts of ways, and we need to be careful of that. Now, let's take sex off the table a little bit, because that's something that really grabs our attention and grabs our hearts. But when it comes to our eye gate, we are being bombarded today by another form of gossip, and it's called Facebook. It's called social media. And some of us are so glued to social media, you know, we can't live without, you know, our cell phone in our hand, seeing who's doing what. And I'm sorry, yeah, maybe your dog's cute, but I got a cute dog too. And my kids are just as cute, and guess what? They did the same things your kids did, and I don't care. And yet we're glued to Facebook. And it's a whole new form the schools are having to deal with because of gossip on Facebook and social media. Be careful, little eyes, what you read and what you see. So we must be diligent to guard the eye gate, but let's also be diligent to guard the ear gate. So the ear gate, y'all have ears, right? Yes? Thank you, Don. All right. We all have ears. It's another gate. It's another way that we allow things into our heart. Last summer, we called for the people of this church to make a commitment. And if you come into our church and want to become a member of our church, this is a commitment we ask you to make as well. And here's the commitment. I commit to be a healthy follower of Jesus Christ and joyfully commit to the forward movement and mission of Christ Church and commit to be supportive of LifeSpring, its pastor, and its leaders in my words, my actions, my attitudes, and my prayers. It was a simple commitment, but not everybody could make that commitment. Not everybody could go where we were going. And I was hurt and sad to see them go, but they did leave. They departed. They chose to leave because they couldn't make that commitment. We are committed to be a joyful church, but let me tell you, it does not happen without effort and without work. Joy doesn't just happen freely. It takes work. It takes energy. Let's talk about this for just a moment. If the words that flow out of us are going to be joyful and have beneficial impact, we must learn to guard what goes in our ears. And while this may seem so simple, I think it's actually harder to guard what goes into our ears than to guard what comes out of our mouths. Following God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, Paul said, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Now, Paul was making an assumption that the world does not function the way the church functions. The church should, at least, function differently than the world. And a lot of the stuff that's in the world should not be in the church, because the church should be radically transformed, and the people of the church should be radically transformed. And so Paul's saying this. These type of things, gossip and bad talk and sexual talk and all this, that's out of place in God's community. It may happen with your work environment, but it shouldn't happen in the church. One of the most destructive things that can tear a church apart is gossip. You know, I've served on many district boards and committees, and there has been more churches torn apart by gossip in the congregation than has pastors failing to keep their marriage vows, just so you understand. Gossip tears churches apart. And so we got to guard from that. We got to guard that to make sure that we're not engaging in that. Be careful, little ears, what you listen to. And God understood this, and he gave some golden nuggets to the wise teacher of Proverbs. Listen to these nuggets. I like these. Maybe one of these you might want to write down, and that becomes a life motto. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. You know, the reality is most of us like gossip. Ooh, that's juicy. That's about 90% of news I'm thinking these days. Proverbs 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. Proverbs 26:20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Gossip is so easy to get caught up in and so easy to pass along. Just so we're clear, gossip is talking about anyone else in a negative light who is not in the room. That's gossip. So anytime you start to share something that's going to put somebody else in a negative light or cause the person you're sharing with to view them in a negative light, that is gossip. And so we need to be careful about what we're listening to. You're sitting around sipping coffee, because it happens so easy. You're sitting around sipping coffee, maybe even at church, even maybe right back there around one of the tables, and all of a sudden we just start talking about somebody, and all of a sudden it goes negative, and all of a sudden we went down a road of gossip that we shouldn't be down. They might start telling about an encounter they had with this person that you need to be aware of. It may come under the guise of prayer. You need to pray for so-and-so. I was talking to him the other day, and you don't want to talk to him. It can invade so quickly and so easily. Guarding your ears comes on suddenly, the need for it. And all of a sudden, you know you're in the middle of this gossip train and you're listening to, and if you're going to guard your ears, as difficult as it may seem, you may have to say, no, we need to stop the conversation. If they refuse to stop, you may have to get up and walk away. And you may, just may, make the person you're having to stop mad. But we can't go down that road. I know this is very difficult because recently, I'll be honest, I blew it. I blew it on this front. Somebody came to me in the church and like, Pastor, you need to know. I was talking to somebody else in the church, and here's what happened. Here's how the conversation went, and I just was listening, you know, and let it go on, and they went down and told me, and I knew who this person was, and I was okay with them. For 3 days, I struggled with having negative thoughts about the other person because of what this person shared, and I got mad at myself because I should have said, no, I'm not going there. I'm not even going to listen. I don't need to struggle about this other person for 3 days. I know some of that stuff, and that's okay. I'm okay with it. But I don't need you influencing me negatively about them. You see, it's so hard to guard against the gossip. And half the time we end up down the road before we even know we're in it. But we've got to guard our ears. Be diligent on guarding our ears. The last thing the little song says is guard your feet. Now, I don't quite understand how feet are a gate, but they can be, I suppose. So it's sort of funny that, you know, we've got to guard the feet gate. You know, ooh, I let athlete's toe in, you know. But here's the deal. We know the reality. If you're an alcoholic, the last place you should probably go is a bar. You know, if you have issues with something, you know, whatever it is, you need to be careful where your feet take you. And you need to guard your feet that they take you to the right places rather than the wrong places. A few weeks ago, in fact, on Palm Sunday, I talked about the fact that God gave us all free choice. And we have the choice where we go as Americans. In fact, as Americans, we have a lot more freedom than most people in the world. And we have a lot of choices as to where these feet may take us. We don't have a government, by and large, that's telling us you can't go there, you can't go here, you can only go there. You know, so we have a lot of freedom with our feet. But we still need to be careful. Paul said, just because I'm free to do something doesn't mean that it's right to do. And we need to be careful where our feet take us. Also on this front, I would hope and think that your feet should regularly take you to church. I hope you think church is a good thing. You know, Bible studies or coming to worship on Sunday morning. And you have a choice as to where your feet take you. If they're taking you to the ball game all the time or the camp meetings all the time or camp or, you know, even work or wherever. But your feet don't take you to church. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful where they're taking you. We need to guard our feet. Now, our master teacher is not Pastor John around here. Our master teacher is Jesus Christ himself. And so Jesus had some very clear-cut words to share on this whole topic. So I want to go back to those. Everything I want to link back to Jesus and to God's word. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good and the treasure stored up in his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Whoa. Every word, careless or well thought, God's watching. Matthew 15, Jesus' own words again. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. They are the things which defile a man. We must learn to guard our hearts. And we do that by guarding our ears, by guarding our eyes, and by guarding our feet. We have to be careful what we listen to. We have to be careful what we're looking at. We have to be careful where our feet are taking us. So we have to guard our gates. Now, if you were to guard your words, one possible thought is that you may need to share a few less words. I like that one. Avoid the person who talks too much, you know, because you share a lot of words, you have a lot more to guard, okay? So we need to be careful of what we're saying as well as what we're listening to. Now, have you ever ran into somebody that just talks too much? And just goes on and on and on. Okay, by the way, guys, let me ask this. Have you ever been around somebody that talks so much that they become like background noise? Men, do not tell your wife that. Bad idea, okay? Never under any circumstance tell your wife, you just sound like background noise. When some people talk, you hear it, but you don't really listen to it much because they just talk so much. They fill the air with their words. Their talk just goes on and on and on. It becomes background noise. So first off, here is a consideration. Consider the words that you're adding to the airwaves and consider backing off a little. Say a few less of them. And then begin to ask yourself, are my words in some way going to help someone else? Are my words going to help build our friendship? Are my words going to help push this person forward or help them to get better or worse? Are my words a benefit to other people? In fact, here's a neat way to put this. So let me just lay this out. Y'all know what a USB is, right? A USB port? Universal serial bus. You know, you plug it into your computer. It can be a USB flash drive or mouse or all sorts of stuff. Universal serial bus. Let's change this up a little bit. Let's, instead of it being a universal serial bus, the USB, let's call it useful, supportive, and beneficial words. So let's practice USB with our words. They're helpful, they're useful, they're beneficial, and they're supportive. Sorry if I look confused because the printer messed up all my notes and put them in different places. So it's sort of fun. All right. We live in a very noisy world. And we live with a lot of words bombarding us everywhere. Sometimes I long for the days of living out on the prairie with no television, no telephone, no computer, no radio. You know, just me and the land and my wife and my dog, you know, that type of thing. Anybody ever feel like that? You know, where we're just, it's just quiet. Oh, I wish sometimes. Yeah, well, we're bombarded with noise and words everywhere on billboards and in our cars and in our homes and on our cell phones. We're bombarded with all of this. And so that's what I want to go back to. Maybe one of the things we need to do is consider, are the words that we're putting out there in the universe useful for other people? My mom had a whole lot of pithy little sayings. As a kid, I was like, oh, these are just sort of dumb. But all those pithy little sayings are so true. And a lot of you probably have heard this pithy little saying, and you can probably finish it. If you have nothing good to say, say
nothing at all.
Oh, y'all know that little saying. Are your words useful? Are they useful? You, for the USB, are they useful? Are they building others up? You know, it's sort of fascinating. Now, let's move on. Let's go to B, beneficial. Beneficial. Gotta find it. There it is. So supportive, supportive then beneficial, USB. Okay, supportive. Are your words coming out of your lips building others up, or are they tearing them down? So first, are they useful? And now, are they supportive? Will your words support someone who might not even be in the conversation right now? I think it's a huge mark of a Christian heart. Is when that person isn't around, and yet when you start talking about them, you feel better about that other person. They're useful and they're supportive of that other person. Now, I'm actually surprised sometimes around the church by words that spouses share about their husbands. And I'm going to put it exactly like that. Wives share about their husbands. I sometimes question whether some of you actually love your husband because of what you say about them when they're not around. Oh, he does this, and he's always this way, and he's always that way. Man, if you love your husband, that is not the words you should be sharing. You should be supporting them even when they're not around. Guys don't tend to seem to do that as much, but guys, it's true of us as well. We need to support our wives even when they're not around. Our words should be supportive and encouraging. And when you leave a conversation, you should leave feeling better about that person and everybody they know because they're supportive. Have you ever been around somebody and when you left them, you felt icky because of what they shared sort of brought everybody down? That's out of place, Paul says, for the church. It's not the way it should be here. So we need to guard our words. We need our words to be supportive. One of the most supportive people in my life was my father. Michelle and I loved going over to their house because, man, my dad always, he never had a discouraging word to say about anybody. And every time we left, we felt pumped up. We felt encouraged. You know, no matter what we're going through, we felt supported. He was just that kind of guy. He had a way of always finding the best. And my mom did too, but my dad especially had that quiet, soft way of finding the best in people. And let me tell you, that's who we should be as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? He's our model, and that's what we should follow. And finally, our words should be beneficial. In the thousands of words that you say each day, how many of those words are actually beneficial? How much are they're useful, they're supportive, but they're beneficial? A lookout came down from the crow's nest on a large ship to take up conversation with the helmsman, the one who steers the ship. And the lookout began to wax long about the beauty of his post in the crow's nest and all that he could see up there. He spent several minutes talking about the sunsets and then talking about the starry hosts coming out at night and appearing in the dark sky. He talked about seeing the mist and the fog roll in beneath him that even hid the deck of the ship, blinding everything below. And he talked about seeing the distant shores and the beauty of the shores growing on the horizon as the ship got closer to them. And finally, he simply commented to the helmsman, "By the way, you immediately need to turn the ship or we're going to run aground." Now, out of all of that, what was actually beneficial? Turn land! And yet, all this had to fill the air. And sometimes we do that. Our words, we fill the air with a whole bunch of words, but only these are really beneficial. And sometimes we know what's beneficial to say. And I've been there, and I bet a lot of us have been caught up in this. We know the words we need to share, but in the midst of the conversation, we don't want to injure them. We don't want them to get mad at us. Blah, 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 blah. All that stuff fills our head, and then we don't actually share what we need to share. Ever been there? And you walk away like, man, I didn't tell them what I really needed to tell them. I didn't speak my piece. I didn't say what I needed to say. So we need to consider the words that we're sharing. Are they useful? Are they beneficial? Are they supportive? And are they beneficial? Now, here's the deal. We need to guard our gates. We need to guard what goes in. We guard what comes out. And when we begin to guard what goes into our hearts, it's going to become a lot easier to guard what comes out of our mouths. If you work on this side, if you work on what goes in through the eye gate and what goes in through the ear gate, you're careful of where your feet take you, it's going to be a whole lot easier to guard what's coming out of you later on. So that's why the guarding side on that side is important. But here's the deal, and the Bible tells us this. Even though we may guard our ears, we may guard our eyes, and we may guard where our feet go, our hearts still have this way of twisting things up a little bit. So we still need to guard our lips as well and what speaks comes out of them. I don't understand why when we catch that whopper of a fish today, it ends up to this whopper tomorrow. I don't think any of us mean to do that. It just sort of happens. And so we need to guard what goes in, but we also need to guard what comes out as well. Now, to just sort of wrap this up this morning, I just want to give you a little something here. Let's say that you're out on a hot summer day. Oh, my goodness. Friday was the first day that I sweat and got sticky and icky since last summer. Anybody else? I don't like that feeling. I like cool and dry, you know, but we're back coming into summer. So let's say you're going out on a hot summer afternoon. You're going to be working outside. You're getting nasty and sweaty. Maybe you're mowing the lawn, doing some lawn, gardening or something, whatever. And you come in and you want a big, cold glass of water. And you're thirsty, okay? You just want a nice cold glass of water. And so you come in, you're ready for that, and that glass of water is set before you to down, you know, just to quench your thirst. Now, I have two jars here, and they are filled with the exact same water. In fact, I filled that jar, and then I filled this jar. I mean, I filled them one right after another. They have the exact same water in them. There is absolutely no difference in the water. But which one do you want to drink from? Thank you. I was hoping somebody would. I want that one. If it was Wednesday night, the kids would say, oh, I want to try that. Never fails. And it's usually Charlotte. I'll drink the dirty one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait. There is no difference in the water in these two jars. But what was in the jar beforehand, there was a little bit of a difference. Anybody have a guess what might be in this one? Yeah, we put some new trees out in the property, by the way, so thank you for those that helped. And there was some leftover mud, so I just threw a little mud in there. Not a lot, just a little scoop of mud. And yet, even though the water is the same, none of us want to drink this one. What if the jar was our hearts and the water is our words? And do you see what Jesus was saying? Be careful, little ears. Be careful, little eyes. Be careful, little feet. Because what you put into your heart, that's what ends up coming out. And even though words may be neutral, words may both go into your heart, what's already in there is going to probably do something to those words. And I tell you what, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I know I need to be this person. But I tell you what, as just a human being, this is the type of person I want to be. I want my words to be like this. As we're talking about living the best life possible, we have to consider how we interact with other people. And the number one way we interact with other people is our words. And so I really want to cause you to stop and think this morning, how are you using your words? What are you allowing to go into your heart? And consequently, what's coming out? Are your words useful? Are they supportive of others? Are they beneficial? Your husband, your wife, your everybody around you, your kids, your workmates. Are you the person at work everybody likes to come to and hang out at the cubicle because they're going to walk away feeling better after talking to you? What are your words? Dear Heavenly Father, we want to live the best life possible. And Father, I want our church to be that kind of church that people want to come in here because they walk out feeling, man, I'm challenged, but I'm encouraged. And Father, I thank you for the people in this church that have encouraged me, especially over this last year. I've become to learn to lean on them a little bit. And on the bad days, the tough days, they seem to have a word of encouragement to share, and I so appreciate that. Father, help us to foster that kind of culture, that kind of environment within our church. And I pray that that environment even spills over into our homes. And that our homes will be a place we want to go to because we know that dad's going to build us up. Mom's going to encourage us no matter what. That they have our backs and they love us. And we'll be the people that people want to come to at work because we're just that positive type of person. Not that pie in the sky, but we're just positive. We're just encouraging and optimistic. Father, may we influence our world through our words. May the words of our lips bring praise and honor to you. And then may they build and encourage the people around us, Christian and non-Christian. May we use our words to expand your kingdom here. Thank you for this lesson. Jesus, you had a lot to say about words. You used your words very wisely. Help us to learn to do the same. And now, God, as we leave this place, we're going to have opportunity to start our motors and share our 46,000 words that we're going to share today. And I pray, God, that we will use each and every one of them wisely. Help us to use our words to honor and to build rather than tear down. In your name we pray. Amen.